Sierra.
Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield!
All right, that's a little props to the Shield. WWE put that video up a couple of days ago. I never saw it before. Maybe it's been out for a while, but hey, why not? Good evening, everyone. It is Monday night, November 15th, 2022. This is your WWE post-Raw show. I am Don Tony, as always. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I hope everybody is enjoying your Monday night. Raw tonight, you know, not too bad. Eight matches, and in my opinion, we had two breakout parties, I think would be the better way, but you can't really call it coming out parties because that could be interpreted in multiple ways, but I think we had two breakout parties tonight. One was obvious, and one probably wasn't, but there was something that happened with participant number two that really put a smile on my face today, because it's something that I have been wanting for a very, very long time with this particular wrestler. And we got it tonight. We could get into both of them right now. I mean, it's funny when those who think they know it all, it's funny when they get it wrong. We all get it wrong. No doubt. You get it wrong. I get it wrong. We all get it wrong. None of us are perfect. But man, when some people get it wrong, they get it wrong bad. And last week, I'm going to spare you tonight. I didn't bother pulling the clip from last Monday's post-Raw show that we did. But if you tuned in last week, you heard what I said. The idea that people thought Austin Theory was being buried because he lost the briefcase was one of the dumbest, stupidest, ignorant, moronic things that anybody could have said. And it was going around in droves last week. Guys, gals, you do realize that it's almost a month. It's almost a month when we talked about Austin Theory having a 2-32 record, you know, after he won the briefcase. Carmella, several years ago, had a 3-32 record right after she won the briefcase. You know, I'm not saying that Austin Theory and Carmella are going down the same path, but, you know, people just look at things and don't think. You know, stop with the comparing of Vince McMahon. Stop it. Stop it. Triple H was not on the outside. Sure, he was in a hospital bed and home for quite a while because of the heart problems. This man has been part of WWE for decades. You know, to give this idea that, oh, Austin Theory was Vince McMahon's guy, and he's not Triple H's guy, and he's being buried, and he keeps losing it. Tonight, and I'm guarantee you there's going to be some stunatzes online that are going to try to convince you that, you see, they changed their mind about Austin Theory being buried because of the loud complaints last week. People weren't complaining last week. People were just saying he was being buried. I didn't see a lot of people who were writing that saying, like, man, Austin Theory's going to be a future star. That motherfucker could really go, and them burying is a big mistake. You didn't see that last week. You just saw Triple H's Austin Theory is being buried. And what did I say last week? Taking the briefcase off of him might have been the best thing for him. You don't have to focus on this gimmick anymore. Now you focus completely on Austin Theory. We got Money in the Bank that could possibly end up being a match at WrestleMania. Get the briefcase off of him. Who, remember what I also said last week? Who right now that is a champion could Austin Theory have legitimately cast the briefcase on? Can't even use the 24/7 title anymore. So who is he going to take it off of? Seth Rollins? Are you crazy? Roman Reigns? Are you nuts? Gunther? Ha! Yeah, you go down the list. There's nobody. So for him to troll the briefcase and tease this and tease that, you know, it makes you think that the briefcase and opportunity, you know, is what's going to get Austin Theory for the next level. Tonight, WWE, Triple H, Austin Theory, everybody in creative are basically sitting back and laughing their motherfucking asses off at all of the stupidity that was talked about last week. No more selfies, no more briefcase. He's not a kid. He's not a boy. Austin Theory now is going to be taken very seriously. That motherfucker got so much heel heat tonight. Going after Dolph Ziggler, did anybody take notice that outside of Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor tonight, there was only one other match that got a "This is awesome" chant, and that was Austin Theory versus Dolph Ziggler. Austin Theory snaps at the end of the match. I'm sure some people thought that he was going to be stupid, not go for the pin, and ultimately Dolph Ziggler does the fruit roll-up, and there is another missed opportunity for Austin Theory. No, that's not what went down. Austin Theory beat the balls off of Dolph Ziggler. Didn't care about the win. I don't know why the match was thrown out. I thought Austin Theory should have been disqualified. But, you know, the official record is the match was thrown out. But if you had any doubt, what I've been saying, not too many other people in podcast land has been saying that either. I know JD is one of them. You know, I think Jason also said it. Outside of them, I didn't see anybody the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, saying Austin Theory is not being buried. That guy's a future superstar, you know, and you saw it tonight. Props, loved it, loved it. Put an exclamation point on what we all said last week. The idea that that guy's being buried is just stupid. It's beyond stupid. Oh, speaking of beyond stupid, I'm going to share with you a news article that came out today that every person who cut and pasted and reported it all deserve to lose their journalistic card if there even is a such thing. I saw an article come out today. I saw another one that pissed me off, and I'll show you what that is later. It has to do with Gunther. Think of Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, because we got it again 4 months in a row. Wait till I show you that. But so another website wrote an article today. I think, honestly, it's got to be dumbest legit news story of the year. It's got to be the dumbest story of the year that I've ever read as far as pro wrestling news sites goes. Wait till I share it with you. You all are probably wondering who I think had the second breakout party tonight. And this may surprise some of you out there. In my opinion, the second person who had a breakout party tonight, Dominic Mysterio. You know, it's funny. If you look at Dominic's haircut, his hairstyle right now from a side profile, I think he's growing it like Eddie Guerrero had when he had the mullet. If you really look at that haircut closely, it looks almost identical of Eddie Guerrero. Now, I'm not talking the latter stages, unfortunately, of his life. I'm talking about, you know, when he first went to WWF as part of the Radicals. But you know why I say that about Dominic Mysterio tonight? One thing that he did that I think has been missing with Dominic Mysterio, and I've brought this up so many times over the last couple of months, and tonight it felt like they finally are going to go in that direction. They showed on Raw earlier in the day, Shelton Benjamin was going to be interviewed. He's interrupted by Dominic and Damian Priest. Dominic is acting like a total dick to Shelton Benjamin. And Shelton Benjamin, now did you notice the little line that they snuck in there today? This is the third WWE wrestler that has thrown the same line to Dominic. I'm going to give you the beating your father should have given you. Riddle said it. Edge said it. Someone else may have said it. I think AJ Styles also said it. And once again, Shelton Benjamin says it tonight. They will keep that seed planted and fresh in your ears and eyes and your head when we get to WrestleMania. But did you notice something else that Dominic did in this segment? Not only was he being a provocative asshole to Shelton Benjamin, but he was also playing the chicken shit. The chicken shit. That is what's been missing with Dominic Mysterio, the chicken shit. When Damian Priest went into the face of Shelton Benjamin, "Yeah, Shelton, what are you going to do, Shelton? Yeah, Shelton, yeah, what are you going to do now?" And Dominik is literally hiding behind Damian Priest. You know, that is chicken shit Dominik that I've been wanting forever. And tonight, I thought it flowed. I thought it was great. He had a great match with Shelton Benjamin, Shelton doing the favors for him. To me, if they continue that, that's going to turn the corner with Dominik Mysterio. You know, hiding behind Damian Priest, hiding behind Finn Balor. Come on. What are you going to do about it? Come on. Putting Rhea Ripley in front of him. Chicken shit Dominik is going to make the fans want Dominik to get his ass kicked even more. Oh, man. I loved it tonight. The two people tonight that really made it for me for Raw was Austin Theory and Dominik Mysterio. There were a few other things about Raw tonight was, you know, kind of meh. All right. So let's get into another big deal that happened tonight, which has implications for Survivor Series. Actually, let's talk about two things. One of them, you know, I mean, if you followed the news sites tonight, you learned that a lot of people know how to use Google, you know, because unfortunately they're not doctors. They do a quick Google search. Oh, there's my answer. And they act like they know everything. All right. Implication number one when it comes to Survivor Series. Over the weekend, Kevin Owens suffered a pretty serious knee injury. Luckily, it's not a tear. But all the reports coming out of this weekend is that Kevin Owens has a sprained MCL, cannot put any weight on it, is icing it, and has to, you know, a weight-bearing injury as a pro wrestler, you know, it is horrible. I mean, you know, if you have it, look at, you know, Jey Uso, you know, Jimmy Uso. You look at, you know, with the wrist and everything. You look at others. You know, you have certain injuries somewhere else. You know, you can kind of, you know, handicap it a little bit, or you could kind of work around it. When you're talking about someone, Kevin Owens, and listen, he's not a, you know, lightweight. Weight bearing on that knee, on that leg, is a big deal. Now, when I said Google search, if you look around with sprained MCLs, you know, a very light sprain, 1 to 2 weeks. Problem is, 1 to 2 weeks is for a normal human being. Someone that might walk to their car and walk to the bathroom and, you know, and that's it. Not someone who's going to fight as a pro wrestler in the ring at War Games at Survivor Series. More realistic, it's 4 to 6 weeks. That is usually the turnaround time. And on top of it, you know, you could injure it even worse. You know, sprained MCL is no joke. Of course, I am hoping that it is extremely minor. And you never know, maybe he could appear at Survivor Series. The problem is this. We only have one Raw episode left before Survivor Series. There has been no hint of Kevin Owens and interacting with Sami Zayn or anyone else in the last month. So in the back of our minds, we think the bigger picture, WrestleMania, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos. Kevin Owens does not have to be in the War Games match. I still think Sami Zayn is going to be the one to get pinned at Survivor Series. I'm starting to change my mind, though, because of the trademarks that WWE just did. And by the time they start releasing this merchandise, and it's probably going to have a ship date going into December, you know, WWE is not going to have the bloodline turn on Sami Zayn that quickly. So, you know, by next week, I may have a total difference of opinion as far as who gets pinned at War Games. But here's the deal. Kevin Owens never has to be in that match. Kevin Owens could show up on a SmackDown or a Raw where Sami Zayn appears a week, 2 weeks later, and then could get in the face of Sami Zayn and pick up the storyline where it left off almost a month or so ago. But the thing is, who is going to be that fifth guy on the team with the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre? Who's going to be the fifth guy? You know, now I start thinking Braun Strowman. Now I'm starting to think Bobby Lashley. You know, could Seth Rollins be on that team? I doubt it. I think Riddle is a possibility. You know, but we all agree Kevin Owens was the perfect person to put in there. Now, obviously, they cannot announce Sami Zayn in the match yet. Not because of the World Cup, because as far as I know, I don't believe the winner of the World Cup faces Gunther at Survivor Series. I haven't seen WWE write that anywhere. That feels like it's going to be a main event on an upcoming episode on Fox for SmackDown. So Sami Zayn could be in War Games and still advance in the World Cup. The thing is, though, is that it is expected that the Brawling Brutes are going to get involved on this Friday SmackDown, and something could go wrong, costing Sami Zayn the win, and Sami Zayn insists on being in War Games as a result. So it's not necessarily him advancing in the World Cup, it's the storyline as to why Sami goes into the match. So we got to give a little time, wait and see. I mean, by next week, we'll know. But it's not going to be 4-on-4. It's not going to be 4-on-4. We talked about this before. You're not going to have five women against five women and then do four men against four men. It's uneven. WWE is going to do it across the board, 5-on-5. So Sami Zayn will likely be added. And who is going to be on Drew McIntyre and the Brawling Brutes' team? So we will know soon. Now, I think the bigger story is what went down tonight on Raw. Now, tonight on Raw, going into tonight's episode of Raw, this was the current teams for the women's side at War Games. Now, I found it cute how WWE took the two women on Team Bianca, or as Wade Barrett says, Bianca. It's funny how now they're on opposite sides of the thumbnail. You know, before they were together, and everybody's like, oh, Naomi, Sasha Banks, Naomi, Sasha Banks, Naomi, Sasha Banks, Naomi, Sasha Banks. Well, unfortunately, friends, Naomi and Sasha Banks will not be added to Team Bianca at Survivor Series. Neither one of them will be added, possibly, to Bayley's team at Survivor Series. By the way, did you notice on Raw tonight, they went out of their way. If you didn't hear it the first time, the second time, the third time, the fifth time, then obviously you weren't paying attention tonight. But they went out of their way multiple times to tell us that Nikki Cross is not part of Damage Control, which tells me that once Survivor Series is over with, unfortunately, I think Nikki Cross, we kind of fear where the future plans. You know, props to Corey Graves trying to inflate, you know, her worth a little bit, that she's, you know, the craziest, scariest, you know, person on Raw right now. But, you know, they went out of their way to tell us tonight that she's not part of Damage Control. Here's the problem, though. On Bayley's team, we found out tonight who the fifth and final member will be. On Bianca Belair's team, we didn't get the last two slots filled, but we did get one of the two. So because of that, by simple arithmetic, Naomi and Sasha will not be in War Games. That is a fact. Is Sasha Banks going to be in War Games at all? I think start having your doubts. I know it's the perfect story. Boston, Sasha Banks, November, big month. Remember what she did last week with those clips? But, you know, we're quickly getting to Thanksgiving. And after next week, we're in December. So I'm very curious to see what Sasha Banks does between now and the end of November to justify what she said in that video. But I think we could start realizing that by the two participants added today, they pretty much spoiled any chance that Sasha Banks is going to be at War Games. Look, it's still possible. But the more I think about it, I think it comes down maybe to one person. I will tell you who that is in a minute. All right, first off, Let's talk about the person who was added to Bayley's team. And that ended up being who many of us thought that it would be, hoped that it would be, and that is Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, awesome that she is 100%. I mean, she has been on fire for the last month. Judgment Day, I can't put my finger on exactly the moment where they really, really turn this shit to the next level, but they are on all cylinders right now, and Rhea Ripley might be my current favorite female on the Raw roster. Seriously, she has been nailing it every single time. She will be on Bayley's team for Survivor Series. So now Bayley's team is set. Now, remember, we had two slots open for Bianca Belair's team. Earlier in the night, Mia Yim was approached by Damage Control. We would love for you to be on our team. She's got to think about it, but she doesn't have any issues with Bianca, Alexa, or Asuka. She's got to think about it. So what ends up happening is a little while later on, we get Dana Brooke losing to Io Sky. Dana Brooke is so upset for Nikki Cross throwing a title in the trash. She's so upset, she takes on Io Sky. You cheated on, that person cheated with my girlfriend or whatever. I'm so pissed off, I'm going to beat up his brother. After the match is over, Mia Yim comes out and she decides, you know what, I will be on the War Games team. I will be at War Games. I've made my decision. She's going to be on Bianca Belair's team. And I think, I don't want to say millions of wrestling fans, but I would say, you know, at least a million or so wrestling fans probably had their balloons pop tonight, realizing like, wait a minute, unless they do an angle where maybe Alexa Bliss cannot compete, you know, fingers crossed that, Sasha and Naomi, how are they going to possibly be on the team? There's only one slot left. And look, I feel their pain. It would have been a cool moment to see them make their return at Survivor Series. I think obviously it would be probably, you know, an awesome way to start closing out 2022. But Mia Yim is on. And look, that's not a knock on Mia Yim. I am a fan of Mia Yim. Always have been. Not suddenly a fan now because she's back in WWE. So I like Mia Yim. And I'm not going to criticize her being on this team. But her being on this team, obviously, by simple arithmetic, it ruins the possibility of Sasha and Naomi being on that team. So now the question is, who ends up being on this team? I'm looking at some super chats that came in. I saw somebody sort of asked a similar question. So who is this? I want to shout somebody out. Big Sal with the 10 spot. Thank you very much, my friend. Reading your show title and show topics, if you are right, who takes the final spot for Team Bianca at War Games? I think WWE may have given us that answer tonight. Because for some reason, I mean, they did it a month ago. They might have done it 3 weeks ago, but for two of the last 3 weeks, they didn't mention it. Found it really odd that they mentioned it tonight. And that was the reminder of Edge versus Finn Balor, I quit, and how that match ended. And now I'm starting to think to myself, with Rhea Ripley being on Team Bayley, could we possibly get Beth Phoenix as the last member on Bianca Belair's team? I know a lot of you out there are also thinking Charlotte Flair. And I would love Charlotte Flair to make her return. Here's my problem with it. Think about Charlotte Flair. I'm one of her biggest fans, obviously. So this is not throwing shade on Charlotte Flair. But do you think Charlotte Flair, it's right up her alley to be going balls out for War Games? You make your return after all this time. She has no issues right now with Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Bayley, Nikki Cross. You know, of course, she has a little history with Rhea Ripley, but not to the level that she's got to be part of War Games. I can't see Charlotte Flair returning, going right into War Games. Then I start thinking to myself, man, you know, what if it ends up being like Liv Morgan? Liv Morgan's been doing all this crazy shit lately with the hardcore stuff. Who would you want to be going to war? So look, do I want Liv Morgan on that final spot? No. Would I be fine with Beth Phoenix in that final spot? Yeah. But would Beth Phoenix do as much as we think she would do at War Games? If anybody wants to go to war, it's got to be Beth Phoenix after the concerto that she took. So I'm going to go with Beth Phoenix. It's probably going to be wrong. Now, just a reminder, I'm going on vacation next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. I will not return until Sunday afternoon. There will be a show Sunday night here, and we're also going to do a little recap of Survivor Series Sunday night. Yes, it's the day after Survivor Series. Don't worry, there's about 50,000 podcasts that will be online Saturday night, live right after Survivor Series, talking about it. So we'll have 24 hours to digest it, think about it, get, you know, our thoughts straight, and then we'll talk about it Sunday night. But I am going to do predictions next week. I plan on recording a predictions show of Survivor Series next Tuesday, and I will release that online Wednesday afternoon for everyone to enjoy. I was thinking about releasing it later in the week, but Survivor Series is Saturday. You know, predictions are worthless if you do it the day before. So I will do predictions next week. Hopefully, by next Monday's Raw, we find out who that fifth and final person is on that team. Now, remember also, on Raw tonight, they did a stipulation. And thank you again, Big Sal, for that. They did a stipulation that next week on Raw, a member of Bayley's team will take on a member of Bianca's team. Whoever wins that match will get the advantage for War Games, the two-on-one advantage. So that is going to be a big part of next Monday. Maybe at that point we find out who the fifth person is. Don't know. But trust me, whoever that fifth and final spot will be, it'll be somebody pretty prevalent on the main roster. It's not going to be an unknown. It's not going to be an NXT star. It's not going to be someone who has a very mild return. It's not going to be Emma. Nothing against Emma. It's going to be somebody substantial. But I mentioned Liv Morgan because Liv Morgan is over with the fans, and she has been doing all this crazy shit. So it almost seems like it would make sense. But we'll know soon enough. Ain't going to be Dana Brooke. Nothing against Dana Brooke, but come on. It's not going to be Dana Brooke. All right. So let's fill in the blanks from Raw tonight, moving right along. We had 8 matches tonight. You know, nothing too long. Main event went quite a bit of time. But a lot of the matches, you know, short, but I think they did enough. Look, Corbin versus Tozawa surprised the shit out of me tonight. I expected it to be a squash. Now, it turned out to be a very competitive match. It might have arguably been Corbin's most competitive match since he has returned. How this all went down, yeah, we had skits tonight. Early in the night, we see Baron Corbin and JBL. They're playing Texas Hold'em with some guy that looks like a wannabe from the Brawling Brutes. And he's got no chips, everyone. Take note. All his chips are gone. So he loses all his money, and he is done. So, of course, we got to make it feel a little bit like 80s sitcom. So who sits down? Akira Tozawa. And JBL's like, you know how to play poker? And Tozawa's acting like he don't know how to do shit. Look at all the chips on Baron Corbin's side. Not even JBL hardly has any. And JBL's like, hey, your money is good to go over here. So to be continued later on tonight. Can you guess what happens next? Yeah, it's like a bad old school TV sitcom. What was the TV show? I mean, they did it so many different times. What was the TV show that somebody, somebody's wife, I think it was. What? Oh, I can think of one. I saw it not too long ago. Married with Children. I think, wasn't it Al Bundy's kid? Wasn't it the daughter that she did? Pumpkin, you don't know how to play cards. And she started like taking, wanting to do shots and everything. It's been done so many times over the decades. But sure enough, yeah, Tozawa ends up with all the money. And this results in Corbin starting to get desperate. Corbin starts to cheat. Corbin claims he's got three kings, three aces. He ain't got shit. Tozawa yells like he got his penis stuck in a zipper. Cheetah! Cheetah! Tozawa wants a match with Baron Corbin for cheating. So Tozawa's counting his winnings. He laughs. He leaves. They have a match. The match was very competitive. Actually, it was pretty entertaining. Corbin gets the win, but Tozawa got quite a bit of offense in there. This actually was a much better match than you would expect. So, yeah, so technically, Larry, Corbin is broke again. We're not going to see any skits of what Tozawa's going to do with all that money. By the way, Tozawa's a dumb schmuck because if you saw that segment, he grabbed like some of the chips and the money and he ran off and he left a whole giant stack there. You know, I would have just immediately thrown that shit in my pocket. So that was one match that we had tonight. We also had Bobby Lashley versus Mustafa Ali. And the show opens up tonight with Seth Rollins. I tell you, Seth Rollins' hair is getting blonder and blonder over the last 2 weeks. Man, that hair was like puffed tonight, out of control. I mean, oh my God, is his hair suddenly gotten like unbelievably long? Not complaining, but Seth comes out. He's touting his United States Championship wins and recent defenses. He brings up Theory's failed cash in last week. The crowd is chanting, that was stupid. That was stupid. So Seth Rollins now, because he's the U.S. champion, this is the top prize on Monday night. Seeds planted, everyone. Him mocking Austin Theory, big mistake. Him reminding everyone his title is the most important title on Raw right now, seed planted. Austin Theory at the end of the night would take both those seeds and add water to it, add fertilizer as well. So that's what Seth Rollins' goal was early in the night. Mock Theory, piss him off, and also remind everyone that his title is the title right now on Raw. So this proceeds to have Bobby Lashley come out. Bobby Lashley, you know, you could tell they're still pushing him as a babyface. You know, he's going up to fans, he's giving them high fives, and he's doing, you know, with the music and everything, he's getting all animated. So he's pissed off. He wants his title back. So here comes Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali didn't forget about what happened last week. And this was kind of funny. And I'm nitpicking a little bit. But Bobby Lashley is like, look, kid, start, like, listening, learn. You know, pretty much get your ass and go to the back before I beat the living shit out of you. So Mustafa Ali tries to go at it with Bobby Lashley. Bobby just tosses him like a salad, throws him over the top rope, doesn't want nothing to do with him. So you would think in storyline, the more Mustafa Ali keeps provoking Bobby Lashley, the more pissed off he's going to get. So Ali does it again, like once or twice. And then Bobby Lashley, you could tell this was a fed line. He gets on the mic and he's like, either you're stupid or you have a lot of guts. Anyway, he's going to have a match. So Bobby Lashley is fine with having a match, but the story of the match was Ali got a little bit of offense, but Lashley was dominating. Lashley doing the same thing he did about a month ago. Ali won't stay down, and he's got that look on his face like, why won't you stay down? You know, Ali, tough as leather. Why won't you stay down? I loved the line that Corey Graves said tonight when Bobby Lashley had the upper hand on Ali and was kind of toying with him. Corey Graves made a remark and he said, the Almighty is playing with his food. I don't know if I've ever heard a commentator ever say that in wrestling, but that is an awesome fucking line. You know, us as kids, we play with our food, but it's like Bobby Lashley, he's playing with his food. He's playing with, I thought that, I loved the line. So ultimately, Mustafa Ali loses. Didn't tap out, though. You know, Bobby Lashley gives him a spear, hurt lock. You know, Ali is fighting and fighting, but he pretty much is unconscious. Referee calls for the bell. Bobby Lashley gets the win. So that's pretty much what we had. Mia Yim in the back with the OC. They're talking about her coming to settle the issues, you know, their Rhea problem. It was funny, Luke Gallows was trying to take credit for it because he's great with the ladies. So Mia Yim is going to have a match. She pretty much tells the OC, stay in the back. Mia Yim takes on Tamina and defeats Tamina in about 2 minutes. Before the bell, Rhea Ripley and Dominic come down to ringside. They don't do anything. They're just scouting Mia Yim. Didn't interfere, pretty much nodding. Rhea Ripley is kind of like, you know, acting as like she enjoyed what she was seeing, but they did not interfere. After the match is over, Mia goes to the back, and that's when she's approached by Damage Control to be part of their team at Survivor Series. As I showed you earlier, she ultimately said no, she is with Team Bianca. Matt Riddle backstage with Kathy Kelly, some bongos, Otis, and Chad Gable. This was all comedy shit, as usual. No Elias tonight. We end up getting Chad Gable defeating Matt Riddle. Defeating him. Yes, that happened tonight. There's your 50-50 booking. Chad Gable with a backslide towards the end of the match, and Otis holds up Chad Gable's legs by lifting him up. Just by science, it gives more of a weight advantage, a leverage over Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle cannot kick out. The referee did not see Otis's interference. Chad Gable wins with a little bit of cheating on behalf of Otis. I know, Benjamin, I thought about it right after I said it. I'm starting to say Bianca without even like trying to. I Wade Barrett's, listen to how he says it. I mean, he just, yeah. All right. We get Miz TV. And as I said last week, I can't wait for this storyline with Dexter Lumis to be over. So now we pretty much know what the storyline is. Miz comes out with Byron Saxton. We get a little different Miz TV tonight. Byron is the host. He's interviewing Miz. Miz won't answer Byron's questions. He's got a prepared statement. Miz is apologizing for paying Dexter Lumis. Miz starts talking about how, you know, he's never cheered, he's never respected, he's been there 18 years, even when he had an injury, he still somehow was always there, and, you know, Byron Saxton is trying to ask a couple of side questions. Why did you say something different to the investigator? Oh, well, it's Hollywood, and we do things different in Hollywood, and blah, 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 blah. Miz talks about that all week. He was depressed and locked in his house. Johnny Gargano comes out and he's like, you know, you're a perpetual liar. You weren't in your house. You were in Cabo or something on vacation. And Miz is like, how do you know that? And Gargano's like, your wife posted pictures on Instagram. So, you know, it's basically Gargano's calling him a compulsive liar. Miz ultimately sarcastically says he's sorry. Johnny Gargano reveals that he talked to WWE officials, and in 2 weeks, not Survivor Series. People think Survivor Series because that's technically in, what, 12 days? No, 2 weeks from tonight. Not next week's Raw, the Raw after Survivor Series. Dexter Lumis and The Miz will have a match. If The Miz loses, not only does Dexter Lumis get a contract, but The Miz has to pay Dexter Lumis whatever he is owed still. I think we know where this storyline is going. I mean, obviously Dexter Lumis is getting the contract. We could finally be done with this story. Gargano's been great in this. Lumis and The Miz have been good also. It's just the idea, the storyline itself is just stupid, honestly. You know, Miz is doing this, try to get sympathy. What the story ended up being is dumb. It's dumb. You know, Dexter Lumis, oh, he got let go and he needs money bad and Miz was trying to be a good guy and in the I didn't like the storyline at all. As I told you earlier, Dominic Mysterio beats Shelton Benjamin with the frog splash. Loved the match. Loved chicken shit Dominic in the back. They got it. If they keep on there, I'm telling you, it'll take Dominic to the next level just in time for WrestleMania. Loved it. Kathy Kelly interviews Austin Theory. And you could tell right away that all this bullshit last week that he was being buried, people got it beyond wrong. Theory talks about his failed cash-in. Nobody understood him and the pressure he's been under, touting that he's the next big thing. You know, they didn't mention Vince McMahon. And he says that everybody hates him because they can't relate. They wanted him to fail. And even though he lost the briefcase, he feels more alive than ever. He talks about Roman Reigns being unstoppable, but the bloodline is always there. And every time Theory tried to cash in, there was always someone there to interfere. He brings up Tyson Fury at Clash at the Castle. He brings up what happened with Bobby Lashley. And Austin Theory is interrupted by Dolph Ziggler. Dolph calls him, says, worst cash-in ever. Ziggler reminds Theory that he had the best cash-in ever, and Theory is always full of excuses. Theory is fed up, pissed off, challenges Dolph Ziggler to a match. They have a match. Excellent. Fans loved it. Other than Seth versus Finn, the only other "this is awesome" chant for the whole night. But we don't get an outcome. As I told you earlier, Theory hits the A-Town on Ziggler, but decides not to go for the pin. He wants to brutalize Dolph Ziggler a little bit more. Hits another A-Town. Dolph rolls out of the ring, which kind of like made me think, oh shit. Could they possibly lead to, you know, Dolph still winning this? But no, Austin Theory just starts beating the shit out of Dolph Ziggler. Smashing his head in the commentator's table, throwing steel chairs on top of him, throwing that big, you know, the commentator's chairs that they sit on, throwing that on Ziggler. Referee throws the match out. Again, I don't know why Theory wasn't disqualified, but the referee throws the match out. Officials are trying to pull Theory off of Ziggler. Referees are trying to do it. The crowd is just giving it to Theory. That's not go-away heat. We had that whole conversation last week that it's not go-away heat. The fans really want to see Theory get his ass kicked. And especially after Raw closed out tonight the way they did, you know, you could see Theory is on the course. And who knows, maybe he still has that match with Cena at WrestleMania that a lot of us thought was going to happen. So, Baron Corbin over Akira Tozawa, like I said before, Io Sky over Dana Brooke, as we talked about earlier. And then we get the main event, Finn Balor losing to Seth Rollins. We had the OC get involved. We had Judgment Day get involved. They ended up brawling all over the building as a result. You know, towards the end, there was a spot, if you looked at it closely, Dominic hits the ring for no reason. There's no one else in the ring. There was also no one else getting ready to attack Seth Rollins. But the reason why he did that is while the referee is trying to get Dominic out of the ring, here's AJ Styles pushing Finn Balor into the side rope. And then AJ Styles leaves the ring. He starts brawling around the ringside area. Dominic is there. The OC is there. Everybody's there. Gallows, Anderson, Damian Priest. Me, Yim is getting into it with Rhea Ripley. And then ultimately, Seth Rollins hits the curb stomp on Finn Balor to get the win. But, you know, we're still 3-4 minutes away from Raw ending. And here comes Austin Theory. Lays out Seth Rollins. They mentioned that Dolph Ziggler was being checked for injuries, that he was sent to a medical center or hospital. But he lays out Seth Rollins, hits the A-Town. Crowd is giving it to Austin Theory. Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins might be a match at Survivor Series. It is very possible. And that's going to be interesting because you feel right now they're not going to start putting Austin Theory on a big losing streak again. Definitely not. If he loses, you feel like it'll be because he snaps and just loses it, and the referee disqualifies him. But this is probably leading to him versus Seth Rollins at Survivor Series. But they went off the air, and you could feel it. And like I said, anybody out there is going to try to claim that, oh, WWE changed their mind. WWE laughs at some of the shit that goes on online. Look, everybody has a right to their opinion. If people thought that Theory was being buried, okay, that's your opinion. That's your perception of it. But, you know, the people that, you know, do the shows and the news and all this other stuff, they're like forcing everyone to believe that Theory was being buried. Just like this. I got to show this to you. And I'm going to show you, this isn't the dumbest story of the year, but I'm going to show you this one first, and then I'm going to show you what I think was the dumbest story of the year. Earlier today, a story came out about Gunther. All right, and I'm going to show it to you. For those with video, look at your screen. I zoomed in on it a little bit. If you are on audio only, have no fear. I will read it to you. So a report comes out today that Vince McMahon had plans to bury Gunther, send him back to NXT. All right? So everybody online runs with it today. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, these people can't be this stupid. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, do people realize how many times this has been brought up since July, since Triple H took over control? And I started to do some research online, and I want to show you. If you're looking at your screen right now, you see the date, November 14th. See, November 14th? All right. Keep looking at your screen, because I'm going to show you something next. Take a look at this. Here's an article from October. Gunther buried. And if you read this story, it talks about how Vince McMahon was going to bury Gunther on SmackDown. Sorry about the dumb advertisements on the top. There's no way I could block their ads, but, you know, whatever. All right, so now we have an article from November, from today, and we have an article from October. Is it possible that there's an article in September? Oh, yes, there is. Look at your screen. Ludwig Kaiser refutes the claims that Vince McMahon wanted to bury Gunther. This interview took place the third week in September. Now, Ludwig Kaiser totally disputed the reports that were out there. So these reports were around in September, and everybody just ignores what Ludwig Kaiser says. Oh, he has to say that. He's getting pushed on TV. What do you expect him to say? Instead of saying, look, Ludwig Kaiser is disputing the claim. Okay, end of story. End of story. You have nothing to prove. At least you have someone who has gone on record as saying, no, Gunther was not being buried. But so here is a September article. Is it possible that there could be an article in August as well? Lo and behold, everyone, look at your screen. August 15th, backstage news on next WWE plans for Gunther by Mark Middleton, one of the biggest culprits of this. If you do a Google search and look at this article from the middle of August, it talks about how Vince McMahon was going to bury Gunther and fell out of favor with Gunther after the July 4th edition of whatever it was, Raw or SmackDown. So guys, gals, I just showed you 4 straight months of the same fucking story being written over and over and over and over again. And guess what? All those podcasts out there, all those other news sites, all those blogs, do you think they're all mentally deficient in the brain? You don't think that they all know that this is a story that every month somebody's coming out with it? They are so desperate at trying to get you to click on their shit. There's going to be people that are going to put this on the title of their podcast in the next couple of days. Vince tried to bury good. This is not a new story. This has been reported 4+ months in a row. This is why I call out all the bullshit you see online. And it ain't ever going to change. The only way it changes is you people out there start putting these people out of business. Don't buy into their shit. Stop paying them. Stop giving them ad revenue. Stop fucking buying into their crap, because you're going to see all these people in the next couple of days using this story, you know, saying, oh, and then you're going to realize 4 fucking months in a row, the same fucking thing has been out there. And nobody calls it out. I put it on Twitter earlier. I actually wrote it there. I expected a whole bunch of people like, wow, that's fucked up. You know what? Nobody cared. So I deleted it. Because I'm like, if people don't care, if people don't want the truth that this is the same recycled shit 4 months in a row, then you deserve it. Not you all, but people online. They deserve it. So now I'm going to show you the dumbest story of the year. And it's from Ringside News. Could you expect anyone else? I think not. You got to see this story to believe it. I thought it was a joke. It wasn't a fucking joke. This goes to show you that so many people out there, their only job, their only source of income for most of their young adult life is streaming. Like, I don't think any of them, you know, that do this dumb shit have ever had a real fucking job. Look at this article that I'm going to share with you right now. You'd see it to believe it. You ready for this one? This is a legit story, everyone. Ringside News reported today that Vince McMahon expected employees to work on their birthdays. I got to know what fucking genius at Ringside News came up with. Notice there's no author. The evil Vince McMahon was going to have people work on their birthday. My friends, any of you out there that have ever held a job, has anyone out there in your job ever said, hey, you know, you get off on your birthday? If you request your birthday off, which people do, hey, it's my birthday, can I take the day off? That's different. But it's not a federal holiday. And this is how hard they're trying to make Vince McMahon appear to be the evil person. So now they claim that they have somebody in WWE that is leaked out to them 5 months after Vince has gone, hey, here's a little tidbit you might not have known. Vince wanted everybody to work on their birthday. Whoever fucking gave them that story, I hope that they're laughing somewhere like these motherfuckers actually think it's true. That is the dumbest story of the year. Now you understand why I don't give a fuck about these people anymore, because this is the garbage that you have to deal with today. That's why sometimes it is so hard when we do these shows. Believe me, I tell you, you know, it's not just putting equipment and editing and putting topics together and discussions and recording and uploading. It's not just that. It's also, you know, not only going through these sites and seeing this garbage, but some of you out there will contact me and say, hey, DT, is this story true? Is this story true? Is this story true? And most of the times, I'll just say privately, no, it's not true, and it won't even make the show. But then sometimes you're doing a show, and then someone will, you know, write live, you're like, hey, you didn't talk about this story, or how come you didn't talk about this? So it's like if you don't talk about it, even though you know it's bullshit, then you're not doing your job. So, all right. So that I wanted to share with you. How stupid is that? So NXT tomorrow. We got 2 championship matches on tap. We have Bron Breakker defending the NXT championship against Von Wagner. We have Mandy Rose defending the women's championship against Alba Fire. In this year, Sangha and Veer Mahan will be making their in-ring return on NXT, so they will be teaming tomorrow. The Dyad will be taking on Briggs and Jensen. JD McDonagh will also be taking on Apollo Crews. And by the way, JD McDonagh tonight wrestled on Main Event and defeated Cedric Alexander. I tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised at how much the wrestling fans out there, the WWE fans, are accepting JD McDonagh. You know, I've always said he reminds me of Finn Balor. He's awfully small, you know, but man, I see nothing but high praise from a lot of you out there. I see more high praise for him than sometimes and even Bron Breakker himself. JD McDonagh is getting so much love right now by the wrestling world. Yeah, I wonder if WWE would actually bring him to the main roster, you know, and if he does, where does he go? But he won tonight on Main Event. Also, Asuka won on Main Event tonight. Yes, it's okay, everyone. Asuka could wrestle on Main Event. It's not the end of the world. She's not being buried. She beat Kiana James. That's someone else that we've been talking about for a while now. WWE is very, very high on Kiana James. She's probably on the fast track to come to the main roster, maybe more than anyone else right now in NXT. SmackDown on Friday did 2,264,000 viewers, hit number one, best rating, I think, you know, they said since whenever. Rampage only did 456. That is awful. The week before, they did 455. And people are like, oh, well, there wasn't enough build for the match with Orange Cassidy. They did 456. So, and they're 18 to 49, even though we never talk about that. I look at overall viewers. The more people that watch your product, the more people that could possibly buy your product. Don't give me, well, 18 to 49 was 105,000 people. You know, no, I'd rather have 1 million people and have a small portion of them be 18 to 49 than have a very small number. But, hey, a lot of them were 18 to 49. You know, if I have a hot dog cart, or better yet, if I have a beer stand, and 100 people show up, and let's say only 20 of them are of age. So only 100 people showed up, and 20 of them could buy beer. So I got to hope that all 20 buy beer. Or would I rather have 1,000 people show up, and yeah, with 100 people, 20% of them could buy beer. Now, what happens if 1,000 people show up, and instead of 20% being of age, only 10% of age? Hey, DT, you're going to be selling beer at this party. Hey, there's 1,000 people set to come, but 90% of them can't drink. Well, guess what? Even though it's only 10% of those people, 10% of 1,000 is 100 people. 20% of 100 is 20 people. You know, so don't give me percentages. Don't give me, I'd rather the overall number, the more people, the more of a chance that you could get someone to buy stuff. So, all right. We talked about Kevin Owens. Let's talk a little preview for Dynamite. Dynamite, this is the go-home Dynamite before Full Gear. Right now, Full Gear has 8 matches announced. I expect another 3 or 4 to be added on Wednesday. This is going to be kind of difficult because Wednesday I'm doing predictions. Throwing the predictions out there early. I know Rampage will probably add a match, but I'm not going to wait until Friday to do predictions because Saturday is Full Gear. So I will be doing predictions Wednesday night for those that are interested. Dynamite Wednesday, they're going to have Claudio and Bryan Danielson teaming up against Jericho and Guevara. We got Tony Storm versus The Bunny. The Acclaimed are going to be doing a music video. We got the Death Triangle versus Top Flight and AR Fox. Anthony Bowens versus Swerve Strickland. And guess what? Samoa Joe's going to talk. John Moxley's going to talk. MJF's going to talk. And for some reason, we're going to have Saraya and Britt Baker have another face-to-face. I know it's the go-home show, but it almost feels like Saraya should have just said, you know, I'm facing you with Full Gear, throw the mic down and leave the ring. Leave Britt Baker there speechless. And then if you want them to throw down a little bit, you have it done this Wednesday. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring Tony Schiavone out there and they have Saraya and Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone says something like, Tony Khan said that if either one of you touch each other, then the match is off at Full Gear. Will not be surprised if they do something like that on Wednesday. But, you know, so Wednesday we'll be doing some predictions. That'll be the bulk of Wednesday's show. Now, some very good news and some pretty tasteless news. I don't know if you all heard about it over the weekend, but at a WWE house show in Peoria, Illinois, some old lady, you know, not very old, I heard she was in her 60s, she threw a drink at Scarlett, a full beer, and totally doused her with beer when she was valeting at ringside for Karrion Kross. What ended up happening was security came over. Scarlett was trying to have the woman ejected. She was not successful. And then security was getting loud with a few people that were with her, and they ended up ejecting the whole group of people. Now, I want to just save you some time and energy. you're going to go around online, you're going to see places reporting that they have exclusive video of the incident of Scarlett getting beat, you know, getting hit with a drink. Don't even waste your time. You click on it, and what it is somebody on the other side of the arena filming people walking up the aisleway and the stairs. You can't see them. You see, like, on that banner, you see, like, the letters Championship Wrestling. The heads of the people in the video are about one-tenth the size of that. You can't, there's nothing. You don't see the incident. All you see is some people being escorted out. You can't identify, you can't see nothing. It's the other side of it. It's just garbage. It's 6 seconds that you wish you had back. It's nothing but clickbait, everyone. Nothing but clickbait. Now, two other things we're going to get into, and then we're going to get out of here. First, two very quick shout-outs. Ronnie C., thank you for the $10 super chat. Props for calling out the BS last week that Theory was being buried. You know, as I wrote in the chat room earlier, thanking you, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. I think some people just don't think of the bigger picture. And Theory is going to be a long project in development. And I like what I see. And the crowd reacting, indifference. Remember what I've always said, indifference is the worst thing you could have as a pro wrestler. Doing things and getting no reaction, you know, good or bad, you know, it's the worst thing that you can have. When the fans don't react to anything you do, that is the worst of the worst. To get a reaction is extremely important. That's what I was saying about the Jade Cargill stuff last Wednesday. Jade Cargill thinking that every woman on the roster could get a 5-star match if given the time. You know, that I don't think anybody should be worried about 5-star matches. Worry about the fans fucking eating up your shit. If you're a heel, have them boo you out of the building. Have them get so angry that they want to see you get your ass kicked. You know, not personally. And if you're, you know, fan favorite, you want that crowd to erupt anything you do. All right, so thank you for that, my friend. Shout out to Eddie K, who you all know as Zylot Themes on Twitter. I'm actually wearing his shirt tonight. Coincidence. Coincidence. He says, Don Tony signs return this weekend at the Impact tapings. I appreciate it, Eddie. I will definitely be on the lookout to see those. Much love. I still got your sign somewhere. I don't know where it is right now, but trust me, it's around. It's around. Thank you, my friend. Have a good time, by the way, at Impact. Now, I got two more things for all of you out there, and then we're going to call it. We're going to get out of here. One story is very, very Usy for everyone out there. If you are loving all this Usy stuff that WWE is doing, well, WWE just filed trademarks for two terms. Usy, and this has been up for debate. How do you spell Usy? Is it U-C-Y? You know, because you think of names like Lucy, L-U-C-Y, you know, Usy, U-C-Y, or is it Usy, U-C-E-Y? Now, I originally spelled it U-C-Y, but it makes sense to have U-C-E-Y because, you know, Us, when the Usos always say Us, it's U-C-E. So the official spelling is U-C-E-Y. WWE just filed two trademarks. One for the term Usy, and one for the term feeling Usy. And if you go on the U.S. Trademarks website, it talks about, for both phrases, for merchandise, every aspect of merchandise, shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, outerwear, coats, bottoms, shorts, underwear, dresses, pajamas, lingerie. They're not going to do Usy lingerie. Hey, honey, I feel a little Usy tonight. You want to get a little loosey-goosey, my Usy? You want to play with my juicy Usy? No. When you trademark something, you have to put every possible item out there. So this way, later on, you don't get in trouble for putting it on something that you originally didn't get a trademark for. That's why you do that. So fly saving, please never say that again. Do you want to get a little Usy? Play with my juicy Usy. Let's get a little loosey-goosey Usy. So they filed trademarks for both. Now, for feeling Usy, it's a little different. Because feeling, actually, no, it's not feeling Uzi. It's Uzi. Okay? Uzi, it's also being trademarked for the categories of entertainment services, wrestling exhibitions, pro wrestlers, it talks about. So Uzi is also going to be part of what we see as well. It's not going to just be merchandising. So expect WWE to start releasing merchandise for Feelin' Uzi and Uzi. You will probably see within the next week, 2 weeks tops, you're going to see them put on WWE. I wouldn't be surprised if it is this week. Don't be surprised they put on WWE Shop, whole bunch of shirts coming out with Uzi. I know a lot of you out there have been wanting it. And just be prepared, though. The ship dates probably won't be till December. Trust me when I tell you, if you see anything you like, get it right away. And the reason why I say that is because I did a contest about a month ago. And you might remember the contest. The winner got the honorary Oos shirt, Sami Zayn shirt, and also a White Rabbit shirt. And what happened with the honorary Oos shirt is within hours, large and extra large sold out. And for three straight weeks, every day I would pass WWE Shop and it would be sold out. Once in a while it would pop up and then an hour later it would be gone again. Last week I finally was able to get my hands on the honorary Oos shirt. If you go on WWE Shop right now, I would not be surprised if a large and extra large is sold out again. So your size, especially large and extra large, if you see something, don't wait. Especially if you're thinking about it as a holiday gift for someone, you know, they're probably not going to be shipped out until December at the earliest. So something to look out for. But definitely going to look pretty cool, man. Definitely going to look pretty cool. All right, one last thing. And I'm going to run through this list quickly. And this is for everybody within the United States that may want to consider going to a WWE event. And I'm going to throw this out there because WWE just released their schedule. Now, I brought this up 2 weeks ago, but I never read the list. And the reason why I never read the list is because there was actually three live events that I couldn't confirm. And I was very glad that I didn't do it 2 weeks ago because, sure enough, there was wrong information online. So WWE released 30 events that are going to take place from January 2nd, 2023, leading up to the week of WrestleMania. So there, if you will very much possibly hear an event coming to your area for the first quarter of 2023. And you know what? It also reveals where some specific events are going to take place. So I'm just going to run these down really, really quickly. Shall it take me 2 minutes? And then we're going to get out of here for tonight. So I'm going to go from January 2nd up to April 3rd. April 3rd's Raw. January 2nd, Raw will be at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. Saturday, January 7th, Saturday night's main event at the Mississippi State Fair Coliseum in Jackson, Mississippi. Sunday, January 8th, it is called Sunday Stunner at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Monday, January 9th, Raw will take place at the Legacy Arena in Birmingham, Alabama. Friday, January 13th, SmackDown will be at the Rush Center in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Saturday, January 14th, Saturday night's main event will be at the Berglund Center Coliseum in Roanoke, Virginia. Sunday, January 15th, Sunday Stunner, the Corbin Arena in Corbin, Kentucky. Very controversial area. If you remember the Bray Wyatt stuff from a couple of weeks ago. Remember Corbin, Kentucky? Monday, January 16th, Raw from the Heritage Bank Arena in Cincinnati. Friday, January 20th, SmackDown at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Now, not going to say Saturday night's main event and Sunday Stunners anymore because that's pretty much what they are. If it's something different, I'll let you know. Saturday, January 21st, it'll be at the Erie Insurance Arena in Erie, Pennsylvania. Sunday, January 22nd, the Divisions Veterans Memorial Arena in Binghamton, New York. Raw 30. Remember the logo? Not to be misconstrued with Raw is Triple X porn. No, it's Raw is 30. That'll take place at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Monday, January 23rd. SmackDown, the 27th of January, will be at the Sames Auto Arena in Laredo, Texas. Monday's Raw, January 30th, at the BOK, or the BOK Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have Barclays Center in Brooklyn, Monday, February 13th, Raw. That'll take place there. Friday, February 17th, SmackDown will be at the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec. Elimination Chamber, Saturday, February 18th. It'll be on a Saturday. That'll take place at the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec. Monday's Raw, that weekend, February 19th, that'll take place at the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa, Ontario. Friday, February 24th, SmackDown will be at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana. Saturday, February 25th, the Road to WrestleMania tour begins. The State Farm Center in Champaign, Illinois. Notice I didn't bring up Royal Rumble because we already know what's going on with the Royal Rumble. So these are just added dates. So I want to just, I don't want anybody to say, what about the Royal Rumble? Okay. Sunday, February 26th, the Road to WrestleMania stops at the BMO Harris Bank Center in Rockville, Illinois. Monday's Raw, February 27th, will be at the Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're almost done. Saturday, March 4th, the Road to WrestleMania will stop at Upstate Medical Arena in Syracuse, New York. Sunday, March 5th, at the Cure Insurance Arena in Trenton, New Jersey. Also that same day, they're going to have an additional show at the Odd, I think it's the Odd, in Kitchener, Ontario. So they have two shows, Sunday, March 5th. Saturday, March 11th, they will be having an event at the Covelli Center in Youngstown, Ohio. March 17th, SmackDown at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. March 18th, they will have an event at the Fargo Dome in Fargo, North Dakota. Sunday, March 19th, at the Danny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Sunday, March 19th, an event will take place at the Bank of Springfield Center in Springfield, Illinois. Monday, March 20th, Raw will be at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Friday, March 31st, SmackDown and the Hall of Fame ceremony. Both will be taking place, like last year, in the arena. That's news right there. That will be taking place at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Saturday, April 1st, NXT, Stand and Deliver. That'll take place also at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. And Monday's Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania, that will also take place at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. So again, these are additional events that were added. Some of the events, including Mania, including Rumble and others, we already knew where those were taking place. So, yeah, so that is your added dates. Again, you know, if there's other dates that were not on this list, that's because they were previously announced. I'm just giving you the new dates. So, with that said, everyone, if you have not had a chance yet, I definitely recommend you check out yesterday's edition of The Sit Down. We definitely had some pretty detailed conversation about Tyrus winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. This Wednesday, on Wednesday Night Dynamite, I am going to talk about the new comments that Nick Aldis just made, calling NWA the most toxic brand in pro wrestling today. Also, Billy Corgan, I heard today, I think it was he went on JBL's podcast, but Billy Corgan basically said today, and I think this is probably the worst things you could ever say to a wrestling fan, if you are not happy with Hard Times and you didn't like what you saw, don't watch it. If you are a disgruntled NWA fan and you don't like what you see, don't watch it. I mean, I think that's probably one of the dumbest things you could tell people out there. He was also trying to compare, like, Tyrus versus Trevor Murdoch, comparing it to Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley based on size. It's just, I almost feel bad for the guy now, because he's so rattled, and you could tell that he is so rattled. And again, I think some of the hardcore, you know, negativity towards Tyrus, I think it's misguided. This is not defending Tyrus's win, but you know, if you're Tyrus and you're wrestling and you're doing your job and you show up and you and your boss and you're doing a form of entertainment and your boss says, "I'm putting the heavyweight title on you," what are you going to say? "Boss, that's not a good idea. Listen, I'm the boss. I'm putting the title on you. You know, boss, I don't want the title. I think it's a good idea." You know, are you really going to do that? So if you're really upset, I blame Billy Corgan. I don't necessarily blame Tyrus. But we'll talk about that on Wednesday a little bit as well. And as I said, on Wednesday, we'll be doing your predictions for Full Gear. And we'll see what matches are added Wednesday. And we'll go from there. So, you know, what do you all think? Do you think Beth Phoenix is going to be that final spot at War Games? I am left today from watching Raw. I am left with Beth Phoenix as my pick right now because I think reminding us of what they did to Beth Phoenix, even though Finn Balor was in the main event tonight, Finn Balor's been wrestling for the last month and a half. Putting that out there today was to remind everyone what the Judgment Day did to Beth Phoenix. I almost feel that, you know, who would want to go to war with Rhea Ripley especially? The only problem with that is, remember, Mia Yim was brought in by the OC to take care of the Rhea problem. Now you're not only have Mia Yim on that team, now you're bringing in an additional person who wants revenge on Rhea Ripley. Does that overshadow Mia Yim? That might actually be a good thing. Because I know some people today were pointing out that Mia Yim got no reaction whatsoever in her match against Tamina. You know, again, I mean, Mia Yim, for a lot of WWE fans, she's not a household name. People remember the Retribution stuff, and they remember how bad the whole storyline was. So, you know, there's no pleasant memories of Mia Yim pretty much in Retribution. They don't pay attention to Impact. You know, there's a lot of people out there who obviously have not watched any minute of Impact in recent memory because Mia Yim's been all over that show for a little while now. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But right now, my immediate reaction is Beth Phoenix. I don't think Charlotte Flair, I can't see Charlotte Flair coming back and immediately wanting to go to war with a bunch of people that she has really no issues with right now. Liv Morgan is an outside shot with all her crazy hardcore shit. You know, why not? You know, if you're Bianca Belair, why would you not want a crazy son of a bitch like Liv Morgan that kind of enjoys abuse? I could picture Bianca Belair saying that next week. So, and you know what? As far as reveals also, don't forget Shawn Michaels has a big announcement on tomorrow's NXT. What that announcement will be, we'll probably have to do with December's event that they're going to be doing, Deadline. And I think it's going to be a good week of shows. So, guys, gals, I am out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, give it a thumbs up. Believe me, I tell you, it actually helps a lot more than you realize, especially when enough of you do it. You can only do it once, remember. If you are part of our Patreon, we will be doing a show tomorrow night right after NXT, patreon.com/DonTony. I know tomorrow definitely is off the cuff, so I will post a thread on the main page so everyone has a chance to send something in if you want me to answer it. And now our Patreon is a little bit different, everyone. In the past, whenever you signed up, you would be charged the first of every month. That is no more. So tomorrow is the 16th of November. If you sign up the 16th of November, you will not be charged again December 1st. You will be charged again the 16th of December. So that is a big change. So at least everybody knows you never will lose a week or two. You could sign up anytime during the month. And again, you know, it's not a money grab, but for $5, you get hundreds of Patreon shows that have never been on this channel or made public. I know our elite YouTube channel members get the Tuesday show that I do, but remember, for all you Kevin Castle fans out there, Kevin is still on the channel. Every week, Kevin Castle does a show exclusively for Patreon. And one last thing, remember, not only you get ad-free episodes of everything I do during the week, but we have 5.5 years of content there. So there's easily 1,000 episodes of Patreon shows that have never been on this channel. I know a lot of you have been asking me, you know, hey, it's 3, 4, 5 years old. Why don't you make it public for everyone? No. So if you sign up, you get access to everything that we've done in the last 5.5 years. All the breakfast soup episodes that I did with Mish back in the day, they're all up there. Blah, blah, blahs. I mean, there's literally probably 1,500 shows out there. So if you want to go check it out, nobody forces. If you notice, I never force it on anyone, but, you know, it's something that you might want to consider if you need more content. So, all right, guys, I'm out of here. Much love as always. Be well. All the best to you. And either I'll see you tomorrow on Patreon after NXT. Otherwise, I will see you Wednesday, 10.05 p.m., Wednesday Night Dynamite. We will do predictions for Full Gear. We will do a brief overview of Dynamite and NXT. We'll talk a little NWA. We'll also talk a little bit about a wedding that just happened. A couple of Impact Wrestling wrestlers just tied the knot. I tell you, the wedding pictures that were released are kind of baffling. When you see the pictures I post Wednesday, you'll understand why. I mean, you probably have seen them. You know what I'm talking about, especially the one with the tree. You need like a magnifying glass to like see, you know, like who got married. But I'll share it with you on Wednesday. So everyone, much love. Thank you as always for the support. Have a good evening. All the best. And I'll see you all again soon. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.